This is The Rounds Table.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another great week of The Rounds Table. Thank you for tuning in and joining us. I'm joined today by Dr. Ashley Manuk, one of our favorite co-hosts on the show, who joins us from Trenton, Ontario. Ashley, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. Happy to be here.
Well, I hope you had a lovely holiday season and Happy New Year. Let's get right into it. Why don't you introduce and take us through your article?
Today, I'm going to talk about an article that was published in Annals of Internal Medicine regarding gradual versus abrupt smoking cessation.
Okay, so what did the study find? What's the bottom line, Ashley?
In a randomized controlled trial comparing smoking cessation strategies in approximately 700 smokers, those who attempted to quit abruptly were significantly more likely to be successful than those who attempted to quit gradually. Furthermore, those who initially expressed a preference to quit gradually were actually less likely to succeed regardless of which strategy they were allocated to use.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. Why did you choose this article, Ashley? Do you deal with smoking cessation a lot in your practice?
I have lots of smokers in my practice, and I try to make a point of advising and supporting cessation at most visits that I have with smokers. So for my practice, it would be nice if I were able to point patients to some evidence regarding which strategies are effective so that I can counsel them more appropriately.
Okay, well, it sounds very practical and applicable to your daily life as a family physician. Tell us, Ashley, what was the design of the study and where did it take place?
This was a randomized controlled non-inferiority trial comparing two strategies of smoking cessation, gradual versus abrupt, so like cold turkey. The study included 700 adult smokers recruited from 30 primary care practices in England between 2009 and 2011.
So just to remind our listeners about what a non-inferiority trial is, it's not to test the superiority of one intervention over the other. It actually assumes that there is no difference between the two strategies of smoking cessation in this trial, and it presets a margin or a difference between the rates or the outcomes to say that if your outcome rates don't reach those numbers, then the trial or the strategy in this case is non-inferior. In this case of this particular study, they set a non-inferiority margin of 19% reduction. So in other words, if there was less than a 19% difference between abrupt and gradual smoking cessation rates, then that would reach non-inferiority, or the trial would be positive for non-inferiority. So Ashley, who were the patients they included in the study then?
So to be included in the study, the participants had to smoke at least 15 cigarettes a day, or 12.5 grams of loose leaf tobacco a day, or have an end expiratory carbon monoxide concentration of at least 15 parts per million. The people also had to express a willingness to quit 2 weeks after trial enrollment. You know, these are people who are ready to quit smoking. They are past the pre-contemplative stage. Mm-hmm. They were excluded if they were already enrolled in a smoking cessation program, if they had contraindications to nicotine replacement therapy, or if they were participating in other medical trials. Now, interestingly, the study did include patients that had other substance use addictions or severe medical or psychiatric conditions, unless their condition was deemed to be so severe that they were not likely to meet the demands of the trial. Taken all together, the participants had an average age of 49, equally split between males and females, mostly white, and smoking about a pack of cigarettes per day.
Would you say that's a patient that you recognize in your practice?
I would say that is probably the typical smoker that